googlemotherfuckers.podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfuckers.
Welcome to the Call to Bean, you cock-sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Podcast. This week I was trying to do old material because I'm taping shit, and I wound up doing like new material for like the first couple minutes, so the whole set will be on here, which means I just gotta keep working that shit in, and we'll just edit it together, and it comes out however the fuck it comes out. We're trying to get together like some footage for the new network that's coming out, and then I'm after one of those Netflix 15-minute specials. I killed that shit. I don't think I could handle 30 minutes. Like, I would have to be like, hey, book me for several gigs so I can figure out my Kill Bill 30 minutes. I got the material, but I've just never had the chance to fucking do 30 minutes over and over again. So tonight, I met up with Too Skinny, and we did an interview. He's a new comedian. And I thought I'd put that up instead of material, but I'm going to put that up and the material since there's some new shit in there. Some shit I thought of that I wanted to say was like, the Huffington Post fucking hates monogamous relationships. Like the other day they were like, hey, you know what would help out? A cuckold in your relationship. Really? Watching some dude fuck my wife that might help me out, that might like help me be more liberal? And then today they were like, this dude's, he makes bikes and his wife is a sex worker. Fucking, if your relationship was more like theirs. I'm like, not everybody is built like that. Like, I, as liberal and enlightened as I am, I don't want to deal with my wife fucking some other dude. I just, like, she doesn't want me fucking other people. I tried bringing her, like, D.L. Hughley's relationship. Like, he's allowed to be married and have some side. And I was like, hey, can we do it like D.L.? And she was like, no. No, we can't. You could be single or you could be with me in a monogamous relationship like a grown-up. And I fucking chose to be a grown-up. That's what it is. And I want to talk about that in my set tonight. And I don't think I got to those jokes. But you got my straight white male shit. I meant to do my gun shit. And then we hang out with Too Skinny, who's a new comedian who's very successful. And he's new and I'm old, and he's what to do and I'm what not to do. So check it out. Enjoy the show. And I'll holler at you next week. Alright, peace. Welcome to the Ian Ellis Podcast. I'm your host, Ian Ellis, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, Mr. Too Skinny.
What's going on, man? Thank you for having me. Thank you. Appreciate it.
We're here at the Fox and Hound where we have ice skating and women's basketball.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing more pitiful than watching a white gay fall down. Looks like a deer having its legs sweep kicked out. So I wanted to talk to you on this podcast because you're a newer comic.
Yes.
Are you like 7 months in?
Yeah, just about. Just about started in April. So about a little bit over. Maybe about 8 months, six, seven, 8 months.
So I'm 7 years, you're 7 months.
Yeah.
Good meeting of the minds. And you're someone I would point to as like, you do everything right. You're the person I look to figure out how to do it. And I'm the person you would point to figure out how not to do it.
I don't know. I really like you. When I went to my first open mic and... It was I want to say March before I ever went up. I wanted to check it out first, and you were my favorite one because it was because you sometimes do a lot of freestyle stuff.
Yeah.
So you know that's something I want to work on because right now I'm working on my nerves more than anything. But the way you kind of like casually just go up there and kill it, just like while sitting down, is where I want to be at. You know, comfortable.
It just takes time, man. You will get that in time. But
you're in a strange position because even though you are new and you do need that time, like you say, you're working on your nerves, you're getting booked like crazy. Like, you're getting showcases. I saw your name in lights flashing. Hanging out with people. What has been your experience so far from, like, that first time to...
I felt like it was different, definitely different, you know, coming from, I did a show with you, was my very first show ever.
So that was a show where we were dealing with hustlers.
Yes.
Which I wasn't sure if anything in your life had prepared you for that part of the comedy game.
Yeah. I didn't know what to expect, so, it was a crazy outcome, you know. And I really liked it. You know, I think if that show would have gone left and it wouldn't have gone the way it went, I would have probably quit.
Those first couple shows were phenomenal. Like, packed it out. They were amazing. Yeah,
it was great, you know. So I think that one, that really helped me out as far as boosting my confidence, you know. Only thing that I guess that kind of fucked up is that can we curse?
Yeah, you say.
It was, I guess it started too quick, you know?
Yeah.
I did my first open mic, then I did a second one, and at the second one, somebody came up to me, they were like, you know, I want to book you. It was just James Waller. He's a producer here in the area, and he was like, oh, I want to book you for the show, you know, are you down? And I didn't know what to expect, so I was like, you know what, fuck it, if I don't do it now, then, you know, I don't know. And then people would come up to me, they're like, you know what, it takes people like a year or, you know, at least 6 months to book their first show.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So I was like, fuck, you know. I
guess second show, you're like, they're like, hey, you want to come headline?
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
even you want to be on it. Headline. Hey, you got 45 minutes? You're like, I just did five.
Yeah, it was crazy, you know. So, you know, it was just like a very quick start for me where I had to kind of put the brakes on it myself and slow down as far as doing shit. Because, I mean, I didn't want to, like, hit a wall.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what's bound to happen. Because, I mean, like, realistically, it's bound to happen. You know, you're not going to just... It's really hard for somebody to come out the gate and just blow up right away, you know? There's going to be sucky shows. And then a long time, well, you said, like, 7 months now, I kind of experienced a little bit of both, best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of stable right now, where it's kind of like, okay, now I'm practicing with my mind. Because I was getting booked like crazy. I would, like, towards the end of the year, I was doing, like, riddles.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing a few other podcasts. And you know.
XL had you over at the Shrine.
Oh, yeah, I did the Shrine. We packed that. And then we did Ballador twice. We sold that shit out twice.
Like I say, this kid has the major keys. He knows that. We're going to break down how you did that. So the show we did, it was with hustlers. And I knew that because of the way they picked us. So the producers, I wasn't going to drop any names. You dropped some names. They basically were like, I want a white guy, I want a Mexican, I want a black guy, I want a white woman. And we didn't have anything to do with our talent other than like, you were funny, and you're that. Which is kind of like a shitty way to get booked.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, well, he's going to pay me. I'm going to just take this money real quick. But I don't see this show going too... I didn't see it going too well. And then I was blown away when I got there that first show, and it was packed out from like... Like, they didn't have enough seats. I was like, holy fuck, did I stumble into the greatest gig of my entire life? But then, so, I did that show twice. And then I was supposed to host the third one. Second show, I didn't get paid.
Oh.
And so one producer told me the other one stole the money. And then the other producer told me the other one stole the money. And I just chalked it up to, like, whatever, I'm not getting paid. And then they also, like, just went ahead and did that third show without talking to me at all. Yeah. Even though I was supposed to host it. So I was like, oh, well, I guess that's what's up. I guess they just going to pick me up quick and drop me quick.
Yeah, no, we did... They got me as a producer almost. They came up to me the first time. They were like, you know what? Do you want to be a part of this group?
We're setting up road gigs, kid.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, fuck it. You know, what I mean? The way they painted it sounded real dope. And I told them, I was like, I don't want no money. I just want to do this for fun. You know. And yeah. They were like, okay, cool. So they took advantage of that. You know what I'm saying? But then the first show, the headliner ended up bombing. Like, we're not gonna say any names. You know. In which they told me, because I was second to last on the first show.
But I think
show.
He was another newer comic, so yeah. I wouldn't. Well, what happened.
But I thank him for putting me in a position, you know, in front of his people, because that was a lot of his people that he brought out, you know, and gave me the opportunity to do my thing, you know. So I thank him. So I told him. So for the next one, he told me, he's like, you know what, you want to come back and headline? I was like, fuck, you know, I don't know. Do I?
I guess.
I was like, this is literally all I wrote, you know, like, I didn't have anything else. If this doesn't work, this is it, you know, but I was like, you know what, if I don't do it, then, you know, what's going to be when, because I don't know, maybe right now, if I tell them no, and they're the only promoters looking at me, nobody else might book me for another couple months.
So, you're at 7 years in the game, piece of advice I would say, don't set yourself up for failure. Better, like, opportunities are going to keep coming. Better just be, like, good in where you are. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, I know I got a solid 10. I know I got a solid 15. Mm-hmm. Then, like, yeah, I could wing. Because I did that. When I first started, I got booked for a showcase. And I didn't have 15 minutes. But they wanted me to do 30. And I was up there sweating, eating bullets. Yeah. People are, like, checking their watch, looking at their phones.
It's kind of crazy. Because, yeah, you know, so it's like I went and did the second one, which ended up being most of my people. And it felt good, you know, like people were like, oh, man, you know.
Your squad is amazing, by the way.
Thanks, man. And I got a team that helps me out a lot, you know. So it kind of, like, that was a boost of confidence that I needed to keep on writing. So right now, I guess, man, it's going super good. But I had to, like I said, I had to put the brakes on it because I was getting booked and I didn't have that much material. Especially in Aurora, people were booking me because they saw that I would fill up a place. So people were booking me, but I was like, dude, if I'm going to fill up the place with the same people, I don't want to burn myself out.
The same jokes, like, they get tired of it.
You know, they'll get tired of it. If I have, like, two or three people come see me twice, you know, in a week, they're going to be the same shit. So I was like, I got to make sure that the product is as good as the promotion, you know, because I was doing a lot of promoting. And then I was like, you know, I don't want people to show up and have a shit show. So I have to go back and kind of rewrite shit.
Fuck
so
shit.
I did. And I've done, right now, up to date, I have 3 different 15-minute sets that have worked okay for me.
That's super dope.
And I had I tried a freestyle one. It was at Riddles. It was my first time ever. I heard of Riddles the first time because of you. I see that you're always at their open mic, you know?
Was that open mic or showcase?
It was open mic Riddle.
Okay.
It was open mic Riddle.
That can be super tough, man.
Yeah.
That can be real tough.
The first time I went was a showcase.
Okay.
So the first one you went, well, I saw you say that you were at open mic there, and I was like, I've never heard of that place. I want to go down there, you know? So when I was actually going to go for open mic, and they ended up booking me there last minute. They were like, you want to do 5 minutes? I was like, yeah, fuck it, you know? They're like, we're not going to pay you, though. I was like, you know what? It doesn't even matter. You know? It's cool, whatever, you know? So I was like, okay, cool. And I ended up bringing out like 4 or 5 people from out of the area. So it was pretty cool, you know, to have people. And the show ended up, in my opinion, it went garbage. Because I tried to, like, I didn't freestyle it, but I tried to come up with, like, it was around Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
So I tried to come up with, like, a Thanksgiving gig. But, I mean, I realized that, like, you know, like, not everybody's going to find funny what you think is funny, you know?
Yeah.
Which I kind of, that kind of, for me, was my... hit on the wall, you know, like, oh shit, and let me back up a little bit, you know. Yeah exactly. So but I ended up, like, you know, I wanted that, you know. I don't want it. Nobody wants a shit show, but everybody kind of wants to know what it feels like, because then kind of like takes your ego from you, you know. You're like, okay, you know, you see, you're not the shit, you know. You're like,
it also sets you free, because you're like, yeah, that's as bad as it is.
Yeah,
I guess I can keep going.
Definitely And yeah, so I don't even know what we're talking about, but I forgot. But
well, I want to get to some of your major keys.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that would be your promotion and your team. Talk to me about your team. Who's in the team? How'd the squad come together?
Okay, so I have a photographer who is the little brother of my best friend. Yeah, and my best friend is my, I guess you could say, my manager. I call him my manager because he helps me with my with all my getting place to place in my license. So he's my best friend. So I was like, you know what, I want you to be a part of this. If it works out, you know, you can say we did it together. So he was like, you know what, like, fuck it, you know, we don't got nothing to lose. We're not going to school. We're working like dead at 9 to 5. So it's like, fuck it, let's do something else.
Fucking 8 Mile over here.
Yeah, so I was like,
hey, you know, man, we're going to get off these streets.
Yeah.
As soon as you give me this gig.
Yeah, exactly. I was like,
as soon as Dre sees me spit these bars.
So he was like, okay. So he helps me with he's my best friend. He helps me with all the promoting and the around the area, like as far as booking venues and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the promoter that I was working with at the time ended up parting ways, over differences. So I was like, you know what? I don't do many open mics. I've only done 3 open mics ever. This, the one we're about to do, is gonna be like my 4th one ever. So it's like
old Kevin Hart ass.
So no, so I'm like shitting breaks right now. I for me, it's harder to do open mics than it is to do showcases.
Well, that's going to happen in general, because at a showcase, you have an audience, and they're there to laugh.
Yeah.
Whereas at open mic, it'll be mostly comics. They're going to be all in their head, or judging you. Mm. So it's like pulling teeth, especially like at Riddles. It's pulling teeth to get a fucking laugh in there.
Yeah.
But that's why I love the Comedy Shrine open mic, because they get real people. So it's a little bit more like a showcase to workshop new shit.
Yeah, you know, and it's... Well, anyway, back to my team, my bad. Sorry, I always get off track. But back to he's my manager, so he helps me out with everything. And as far as, I don't really have a squad, but I have a lot of friends. Back in the day, I had a YouTube thing where I ended up, I have a video that's out there. It has like 750,000 views. It was like a dumb viral hit that went viral. So I have a lot of people that kind of kept their eyes on me for comedy. And I did put out a whole bunch of stuff. It's been on WorldStar. So like around the area, like at least high school, everybody kind of had their eyes on me, waiting for me to like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So now I started this stand-up thing that everybody's been waiting years to like come see me or do another like YouTube video. I was like, I want to do stand-up. So I got a lot of people that support me. And, you know, they keep coming back because they like what they see, you know? So I don't want to like disappoint them.
You had some options there, because Vine is its own world.
Yeah.
YouTube is its own world. And stand-up is its own world. And you're kind of like you're funny strong enough. You're trying to bring all three.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the YouTube world. Like, were you just fucking around or like...
The YouTube world... I used the first four videos, which was what made me viral, I guess, at the time. It was this part, I'm talking like 5 years ago. I just turned on the camera. I was talking shit. And it was mostly hate that people were coming back. But it went viral. So, I mean,
loves hate.
Yeah, you know. But it was a lot of people that supported me. So then after that, I kind of went left, like trying to do like sketches and shit like that. That's why I felt like it got watered down. Yeah. Like, people don't like... there's a few comics out there that do like sketches and stuff like that on YouTube. But it's kind of corny, to be realistic. And I kind of went that route. And ended up being corny, you know. And I ended up kind of, I guess you could say, I was averaging like 30,000 views, went down to like 5,000. So I was like, you know what, this shit is not working out. So I stopped doing the YouTube thing, and that was that. So now that I'm doing stand up, I feel like there's so much competition. You need a boost in the internet, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you need something to go viral. So right now I'm trying to work back on YouTube. I'm trying not to keep it so watered down, not so scripted. I'm trying to do shit like that, but so that's what I'm working on right now. I'm trying to bring it together.
Here's some major keys in the stand-up game. Clubs want someone who's gonna draw an audience. Mm-hmm. They don't care what the fuck you did.
Yeah.
They don't care if you're a YouTube star, a Vine star, you're the baddest comic in your city, or if you're the newest comic. If you're gonna bring asses to seats, they're gonna book you. So if you can develop that with like Twitter, YouTube, whatever, you're ahead of the game. Because instead of like saying, hey, please let me in, you're creating the commodity that they actually want.
Yeah, it's been really great. It's opened a lot of doors for me. I mean, even just a little bit of internet presence. You know, we did, my manager got me some business cards. We ended up putting out business cards. The owner of Comedy Shrine, the way I met him, it's crazy.
Sinker.
Yeah, the way I met him, it was so crazy because I work at a bank and he banks at the bank. So I didn't even know what he
did. Let me ask you, what kind of money does he have?
I can't say that. I got fired. But he banks there. So I was telling him, I was like, I want to do this open mic thing. He was like, yeah, man, come down, try it out, whatever. Then after he heard how it went, and then he stuck around for my set. He was like, yo, that shit was good, you know? Like, keep coming by, you know? It'll get better. I was like, all right, thank you, you know? And then I booked the show. And so then one of the promoters told him about me. So now he's asking me, you know, you want to come do a monthly show at the club? So it's a great opportunity, but I feel like it's not for me right now. So I have to decline that politely, you know? Because, I mean, a monthly show, I'm too new for that, you know? Like, I can't do it. I want to say I do, you know? They say people like, you know, do it, you know, you got to push yourself.
Grow as you go.
Yeah, but it's like, nah, not that, not right now, you know what I'm saying? Not right now. I feel like I can't pull it off right now. Not a monthly show.
But you're kind of being hard on yourself because you have these 15-minute chunks.
Yeah.
If you really want to do like an hour, it's 10 6-minute bits. That's a lot easier to do. It's like, I'm going to focus on this 6 minutes until I got it, and then build the next.
Yeah.
Another major key, if you're trying to get in the clubs, I don't know if you want to or not, get 15 minutes of clean material and shoot video. Shoot it like you're shooting your hour special. Right now I'm shooting some stuff at the Comedy Shrine. They're just shooting me 10 weeks straight. and then we're going to cut it down to like a 15-minute dope clip. Build your clean material by staying at one club for a consistent period of time, and that's all anybody wants. Get in, be clean, and then you can work with the other comics, the rogue comics, every other fucking person that'll move you up.
And I don't have any clean, like, I don't know what you mean. Clean comedy, like, no cursing, right, basically? No cursing, less sexual.
It's more than that. It's like, would you say it to your grandma? Or would you say it to a little kid? Or in a little kid's presence?
Yeah.
But once you have that 15, you can get in the clubs. And then once they get to know you, then you can, you know, take the reins off and do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Then you can, that's if you're trying to make it.
But yeah.
It sounds like you're kind of like me, where I'm like, I'm going to get this right first.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. Like, I don't have any, I kind of stay distant from other comics. So I don't have any, like, friends that I hang out with that are also comics, you know? And I felt like when I went into the comedy scene, you know, I mean, I met you, I guess you could say you're my friend.
We're cool.
Yeah, we're cool. And I mean, you're probably the closest person I have as far as comedy, and we've only done 2 shows together, and we didn't even talk, you know? So that's how distant I am from other people. So I don't get any advice. Nobody, you know, nobody guides me, so it's a lot of...
Man, you should talk to XL. Can I have another one, please?
I'm okay right now.
XL is super cool. Like,
yeah, he'll
totally take you under his wing, man.
Yeah, I did a show with him. He headlined in Ballydoyle. Mm-hmm. Did a huge fucking set. A huge show. It was like 200 plus people. And I opened up. I was right up before him because, you know, that dude kills, you know? And he was telling me, after he saw me, he was like, hey, dude, you're pretty cool. You know, we're going to bring you to Comedy Shrine. Then I went to the Comedy Shrine and killed that shit. It went really good, I felt like. And he told me, he's like, you know, we got to keep in contact. But, I mean, I guess I don't know if he stopped doing that showcase. But what happened? And then we kind of stopped talking after, since I never went back, you know? So kind of stopped talking to him. But, yeah, so I really want to start doing more open mics, you know, weekly. Even if I don't go up, I want to hang out because I want people to get to know me, you know, like. Okay. Only people that know what I do is the people that come see me at the showcase, but at the open mics, it's like, whatever, nobody gives a shit what you do, you know?
Do you know about Bad Slava?
No.
I'll send you a link later, yeah. But Bad Slava is a list of every open mic in the country, so you can get up every night of the week if you want. Sometimes you get up 2 or 3 times, you know, in Chicago especially, if you're willing to make that drive. Usually your peers are like the people you start with, so is there anybody that has been around with you? I will, please. You just said, like, that's why you gotta come hang out, man. You gotta come hang out at the Shrine so you can meet some people starting at the same time as you.
Yeah. The people that I hung out with, I mean, at the open mic, I didn't talk to nobody when I went the first 2 times. Then they came up to me, I did the set. The people I met at the set was you, Leroy.
Leroy,
Katie. Me and Katie are real cool, and I really look up
Katie's
to Katie.
Katie's a huge sweetheart.
Katie kills shit, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Let me say this for the record, because I've given Katie shit in the past, because she always dresses so pretty, and I'm like, you're too funny. Why are you doing this? But then later I was like, oh wait, she does that because she's such a professional that even if it's the shittiest open mic, she's giving it 110%.
Yeah.
And I was like, I should be admiring her more and talking less shit.
Yeah.
But Katie's the best. I love Katie. Yeah. I'm sorry, sweetie.
No, you know, yeah, and I look up to Katie a lot. I mean, she's, you know, she's always getting books. I was like, I want to be like, you know. So I guess I know, you know, it's different people. Like, most of the people that like at the showcase, the people that I went to, everybody was doing it for years. So I guess you can say I never really started with anybody because I kind of...
Dude, there's a new crop every 6 months.
Yeah. So it's like, so now I'm going to go, I'm taking this open mic as my beginning. You know, I'm going to start clean and I'm going to keep on coming to the open mic and hopefully go from there. You know, because last year was just my kind of like testing waters. It went a little bit way too fast paced for me. But now I want to restart and want to make sure everything is done the right way, you know. And yeah, because I mean, I was booking shows and then I was like, I don't want to say the same thing. But then I realized how other comics are, you know, they say the same shit everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, you know, I didn't know you could do that.
I'm a bad person to watch because I'm the only one that does new shit every time. But it took me years to get good enough to do that. There's a lot of eating dicks before I got good enough that I could do that. And you got to be willing to, like, fucking fail if you want to try that. But, yeah, there's nothing wrong with building an act. Like, you know, even though I'm always doing new stuff, I am always building an act.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you take it seriously enough. Have you watched any comedy documentaries? Comedy?
You know,
you
what?
Listen to podcasts?
You know what? If you would have asked me this probably about when I first started, I would have told you that I have never seen anybody do stand-up. I never listened to any. I didn't know what a podcast was. I just knew it was an app on my phone.
Nobody did.
And I deleted that shit, you know?
Every day I tell people, like, hey, subscribe to this. And they're like, the fuck is a podcast? Mm-hmm. Here, take my phone. Push the buttons.
Yeah, you know? So I was like, what the fuck? But I didn't. And as I started, people were like, I think you asked me this after our show. He's like, you were like, who do you look up to or who are your favorite? I was like, I don't know. I don't look up to nobody because I've never done homework.
I thought you were just such a gangster.
No.
You're like, Kevin Hart could lick my dick.
Nah.
Too skinny, motherfucker.
Nah, you know, and I never did any homework. So I was telling people around me, especially at work, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to do stand-up comedy. Like, oh, you know, who do you look up to? And I was like, nobody. You know, they're like, what do you mean? You know, you got to, where do you get it? I was like, I don't know. I've never seen anything. So I was like, damn, you know what? Before I do this, let me go see somebody who made it.
I'll tell you. I never really watched stand-up like crazy until I started doing it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, I'm discovering all these people. Like, holy fuck, this is so much. So who have you discovered?
So, man, so many people. But I guess to point out my favorite, the only stand-up that I had seen before I did stand-up was Cat Williams. You know, growing up.
It's Pippin.
Growing up, yeah, you know, Cat Williams. And that's, I guess, I don't try to copy him, but as far as being ignorant and being, like, not giving a shit what people say, I kind of went that route. So all my sets are like, fuck this, fuck that, which I got to clean up eventually, you know. So I guess he was one of the first people that I looked up to. And then I went back and did homework, and I was watching Cat Williams interviews. Like, who do you look up to, Cat Williams? And then he named people like Eddie Murphy, I mean, Richard Pryor, and I mean, you know, all kinds of people. So I was like, you know, let me look at these people. So then I went all the way back. I started looking at like Robin Williams, Richard Pryor way back, and worked my way up, you know, to like Chris Rock. And then right now I'm really stuck on, I think my favorite comic book right now is Tom Segura. That's who.
Just had a Netflix special?
Yeah, Disgraceful. I mean, I didn't, like, his comedy was so whack to me first. You know, I was like, this dude's not even funny. Cat Williams is funny because he curses and he says, you know, his punchlines are like, hell no, or fuck that. You know, and that's his punchlines a lot of times. So when I went to Tom Segura,
his cadence becomes his punchline.
Yeah.
So then, whereas Tom's like a punchline, it's his punchline.
Yeah, you know, and then I went towards Tom Segura and like the whole Death Squad. There's like Joe Rogan, Bert, and like a few other guys, and I did all their research. Joey Diaz, you know, I mean,
Tony.
Started doing all kinds of like research, you know. So right now I guess somebody that I find myself in between Tom Segura and Cat Williams. So you kind of like two completely different comics, completely different styles. One's all over the stage and the other one's very mellow, you know, just judgmental. I don't know, it's kind of a really hard place to be stuck in between.
Cursing, like, if you want to clean it up, amazing. You'll move through the system a lot faster. You'll get more club work and shit. Some of the thoughts I usually have on it are like, who's my audience? Who do I want to talk to? Do I want to talk to the choir? These liberal people that already have these liberal thoughts? Or am I trying to reach, like, the street people that maybe haven't thought about it that way?
Mm-hmm.
So usually, if I'm talking about racism, I'm trying to make a point that racism is bad.
Yeah.
But I'll say it the way a racist would say it.
Yeah.
So it's like everybody's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like the liberals are uncomfortable and the conservatives are uncomfortable, and everybody has to reckon with themselves in some way when I'm doing that. If I'm talking about like women's rights, like I was talking about women in the Middle East one time and how bad they have it, because I thought I was misogynistic. I thought I was treating these bitches bad. But these bitches have it so good over here, and it's like, bitches will catch your ear. Because if you're liberal, you're offended by it. And if you're, you know, a person that calls them bitches, you've never thought about how women had it bad in another country before. Just some thoughts to put in your head of like,
yeah, you know,
it's not necessarily bad to swear. It's what you do, and don't expect everybody to understand it.
Yeah,
a lot of people aren't gonna get it.
Yeah, I guess it was. That's what I'm working on right now, like reaching new audiences. Because at first I was like, man, fuck it. As long as I make my peers laugh and everybody come see me laugh, but then it's like, I got booked for a show where nobody that I knew was gonna come see me. And I was like, damn, you know, I don't know if they're going to relate to this shit.
Funny around your boys versus funny with regular people.
Yeah. And luckily, the first one ended up going real good. And the second one was an all-elder black crowd at Riddles, which I was doing like...
You just got to have some confidence.
You know, saying dumb
confidence,
shit.
Confidence, baby.
Ended up... I mean, they laughed and everything. Like, my friends were like, yeah, it was
old
good.
People are dirty as hell.
Yeah, true. There was a lot of women too, a lot of older women, older black women.
They're the dirtiest.
and it was just like a different experience. So right now, I guess I look up to a lot of people, but my favorite one right now is Tom Segura. And I'm not trying to be like him, but I kind of like these. I've been doing a lot of research as far as how comics put their set together, you know? Like, Dave Chappelle, of course, I forgot to mention him. But, you know, especially when comics say something and bring it up, like, to wrap up the show, that's, like, genius to me, and I don't...
It's called a callback.
That's what it's a callback? See, I don't even know what it's called, because I don't know shit.
Oh, we're going to go through the whole math of comedy. First, I need to pee and have a smoke, so we're going to pause.
Yeah.
All right. We're back.
Yeah? I don't even know what we're talking about, flats.
But you're saying you're trying to kick it now?
You got paid
$500? Them motherfuckers only gave me $75.
Nah, it was at Valley though. Because, I mean, they were charging five at the door. You know, they made a couple $1,000 that night. And, I mean, they knew that I had brought in most of the people because, when
your audience is insane leverage. And, like, you can make moves with that audience. And I'm so happy to hear that you're like, I want to be in the right place to make those moves.
Yeah.
But never lose sight of the fact that you can make those moves. Like, that's some gangster shit.
Yeah, I'm saving shit, you know. I don't want to, like, take it for granted. But I don't want to, like, waste it either. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, let's fill this bitch. Because I'm pretty sure I could, like, do another two shows, fill it up. But then at the third one, people are like, all right, dude, you know, that's enough. You know, we done supporting you. We have the same shit every time we go. So right now, I want to network. I want to be friends with more comedians, you know. Not for... like a convenience thing, but I just feel like I don't have anybody.
You want some comrades to tell you your shit is whack, or like, here's a free punchline, try this out?
Yeah, you know, I was, before I did my Valley Doyle show, there was actually one comic that came up to me from the Comedy Shrine, right before I went on stage, I remember, and I never even talked to this guy, I just saw him at the Comedy Shrine a couple times, he's a regular there, and he was like, hey man, right before I went up, he was like, don't worry if it goes to shit, because shows are not like open mics. So I was like, fuck. I was like, man, you can't tell me that shit right before I go up.
Hey, man, you about to bomb. Have fun.
Yeah, that's kind of, the way he said it was like, this is not the same, you know, so you might not be able to handle
it. Playing mind games.
Yeah, so I was like, fuck. And he wasn't even on the showcase, you know, he came to see it. And I was like, whatever, you know, I'm gonna do my thing, you know. And it ended up going super fucking great. I had people that I didn't even know were taking pictures with me. It was fucking super dope, but then... like, it was just like, so then from that night, I kind of felt like maybe people from the comedy scene don't want me around. I don't know. Like, I didn't know what it was, you know?
They're all insecure. Everybody who's in comedy on some level is like, am I doing it right? Am I okay? Do they like me? Do they not like? Like, everybody gets in their head, you know, about that shit. It's not just you, man.
Yeah, so I felt like, I was like, man, dude, you know, do they not like me? Because people were telling me that, like, you know, it takes months.
But dude, your success. A lot of people were looking at like this undeserving motherfucker.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. People were like, you don't deserve it, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, you know, maybe I don't. Maybe they're right. So it kind of kept me
enemies that are jealous.
Yeah, you know, it kept me from coming to the mic and talking to people because I really wanted to be like, oh, what's up?
Man, you just got to be six guy.
Yeah,
you just got to keep dropping these hits.
So now I'm gonna. Like I said, I want to make friends, you know, not because I want to use people or anything like that. I just want to make friends so they could tell me on a comedic point of view. Because I might tell my friends some shit that, like, most of my friends are ghetto as fuck, you know. They don't even understand stand-up comedy.
Funny, like, in the workplace with your friends is not the same as funny on stage.
Yeah.
And you know that and they don't know that.
Yeah.
So you need those on-stage people
to
communicate with.
Exactly. That's what I want to do, you know, and... I mean, at a showcase, nobody's gonna give you advice because they want to be the best at the showcase. So I was like, I gotta hang out at open mics. I gotta do shit. Like that. And it's hard for me because everything I've done is like with obstacles. You know, I mean, everybody got issues at home. You know, and I don't have a license, so I didn't even get around open mics. I can't even go nowhere because I don't have a license. You know, I got shit when I was younger.
Dealing with some fuck shit.
Yeah, you know, I was and I had just most of the clubs. I couldn't even go into because I wasn't even 21. Like, a lot of places, they're like, oh, yeah, you got to be 21 to come. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, I'm not even 21. Bally Doyle, when I did Bally Doyle, it was 21 plus to enter, but I was 20 doing the fucking show.
I was at the Comedy Store, and they had a show called Kill Tony, and these comics would be set up to go on it, but they're not allowed to be in there unless they're 21. They'd be 19, so they'd have to sit outside and wait. And people would run outside and grab them. They'd come up, do their 1 minute of material, and then they'd have to run right the fuck out of the building.
That's crazy, you know, and that's how it was too for the last year. So now that I'm 21, it's like I want to go, because there's a lot of bars in Chicago that have open mics, a little, like, more than comedy clubs, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I want to experience new things. Yeah, I want to start from the bottom, you know, and get work my way up, you know, and that's where I'm at right now.
I got so one of the major keys I'll give you, one of the best pieces of advice I got is don't look for funny things to talk about. Make the things you want to talk about funny.
Yes.
You can make funny out of fucking anything, and that would be your point of view. So once you figure out what you want to talk about, whether it's like what's important to you, what's important in your life, loyalty, friends, trying to pay these bills.
Yeah. For me, I feel like some of the funniest bits that I've done are related to my weight. Because I mean, right when I come on stage, my name
people
is too skinny.
People love fat jokes.
Yeah, you know, my name is too
skinny.
Hate
fat shaming, but we love fat jokes.
Yeah, you know, I guess. So I want to do, I want, that's what I find, what people find funny, what I like to talk about. But I, of course, I'm trying to work my way around it, trying to make more things, you know. I'm not trying to, because a lot of people, I see a lot of successful Mexican comedians. Like, for example, Felipe Esparza, I went to go see him.
Shout outs.
Yeah, Felipe Esparza. And people, a lot of people hate him because they're like, oh, you know, average Mexican, talk about Mexican shit. And then when you talk about white people, like, oh, why didn't you talk about Mexicans? Because why do you always talk about white people? So it's like, fuck, what are you talking about nowadays, you know?
It is a strange thing. Like, Netflix right now is picking up a lot of specials.
Yeah.
So you will see those Hispanic or Indian or Muslim comedians. Did they seem like open micers compared to, like, your average, like, compared to a Tom Segura or a Bill Burr? But for the area that they're in and the audience they're reaching, they're the only one doing it. They're the only one.
Yeah.
So you have an amazing opportunity because you can be a crossover. You can bring the great, you can bring like all the polish of the Bill Burr to the Felipe audience.
Yeah.
And you can really step the game up in that area of the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on. You know, I want to reach out. When I first started, I always said, I was like, fuck it. If they don't like it, it's not for them. I'm not going to change what I say. You know, but then it's like, now I kind of want to change what I say. Not because I feel pressure to, but it's like, it feels good to reach a different audience. But also make it relatable, you know? And I always said, I was like, man, I grew up like everybody else around here, you know what I'm saying? We ain't had too much money. So if I talk about, oh, like missing a payment joke or bad credit collectors calling your phone in like a fucking corporate party with all white collar people that have never missed a payment in their life, they're not gonna find it funny, you know, a lot of times. So I wanna make jokes for it that everybody can relate to, you know? Like, make them funny, make them genuinely funny, not just because I feel like I have to, but take my life and put it in that.
Biggest thing is you got to make sure you don't say it in a way that somebody's already said it before.
Oh, I'm trying. That's what
I've had a handful of lines where I was like, oh, that's a street joke, but I wouldn't hold it against you because you're so new in the game. But it's like, those are one of the things where I'd be like, hey man, that's something I'd pull you aside for. Yeah. That's why you need some comedy friends.
Yeah.
Why can't you be nice, too skinny?
Yeah, and you know, and it's crazy because a lot of times, like I said, since I didn't know, you know,
mm-hmm.
like it's like I don't know what the fuck to say, you know. It's like, what do I say? Or even like, I actually wrote a joke, and I wrote it off the top of my head. And then I saw somebody's like video, and they said almost similar jokes. I was like, fuck, now I can't even say it. But then I'm not gonna stop halfway through my sentence. Like, oh, this is my joke, I wrote it first. You know, it's like, fuck, I gotta. Some shit you gotta rewrite and go around, because
sometimes it's stealing, sometimes it's parallel thinking. I've got like a half dozen people that I've heard do my material before.
Oh, really?
And most of them are more famous than me.
Oh, shit.
So I'm just like, we're just gonna call that parallel thinking. I'm not gonna call anybody down, but.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah, you know, I never, like I said, I don't go to comedy shows or go to open mics like that too much. But I did a set, an open mic set.
Like I say, I don't like comedy. I don't listen to comedy. Fuck comedy. I'm just here to be the best.
No.
Call me.
It's like, I did a show. I did a set at open mic. Never did it again. I just thought it was funny, but I never kind of touched the base again. And then I did a showcase with somebody that did the same fucking joke. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, that's my shit. But it was just like a throwaway kind of, I guess, in my thought. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, you can do that, you know? But then I finally realized, I was like, damn, this is big in comedy. A lot of people take shit and run with it, you know? And I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a real thing. I was so naive to the game. It was like, fuck, you know? So now, just now, I'm getting a lot of my gems, you know, learning a lot of shit.
You know who Chino XL is?
No, I don't.
Man, one of the greatest Hispanic rappers of all time.
Shit, no, I don't.
I think he's Puerto Rican. But he had a great line where he's like, I'm like a dog trainer, most bitten. Sometimes I feel that way. I'm like, oh man, that sure did sound good on my podcast, didn't it?
You know, and it's like, yeah, you know, I'm doing a lot of learning right now is what I'm doing more than anything.
Well, I want to talk about what you're doing right.
Yeah.
Your marketing, phenomenal. Tell me, where did the cartoon come from? How do you promote your shows?
So I ended up, so Twitter, I'm not on Facebook too much because I feel like Facebook is like a lot of older heads that don't give a
Facebook.
Shit. You know, I'm trying to reach the younger audience because a lot of young people are not into stand-up comedy. Like I said, a lot of people grew up on Vine.
I'll add to that a mistake I made. All my friends on Facebook are comics. They're the last people I'm trying to reach when I'm doing shit. I wish that I hadn't friended so many comedians on Facebook, and I wish I hadn't followed so many on Twitter. Because Twitter, too, I love talking shit. I'm not going to respond to comedians because that's my people. Those are my brethren. I'm not going to just trash them for no reason. Other than Rich Voss, we got into a fight today. But normally I don't tease comedians, and I wish I had more regular people I was following because I could respond to them and do my thing, talk my shit. But when it's all comics, it's like, well, fuck, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's like nobody. So I try to reach out to younger people. So I ended up going on Twitter. You know, a lot of I told people I was doing stand up, so word of mouth. You know, people started following me. People started asking me, yeah, you're that comedian, right? I was like, yeah, I guess, you know. From East Aurora, at least for now, there's not that many. As far as I know, I'm the only one that I know. You know, I don't want to disrespect anybody that's also doing their things. Like I said, you know.
On Roast Battle who was from Aurora a couple weeks ago. I can't remember his name. I shouted him out on Facebook.
Shout out
to Roast Battle.
I don't know because I don't keep up a lot of times, which I need to work on. But anyway, I reached the younger audience. So anyway, I'm on Twitter a lot. So people got to know me. So I say a lot of dumb shit on Twitter, like shit that I probably can't say on stage, you know? Like, oh, this customer came in and said this. And it gets a lot of retweets. So I ended up getting picked up by a clothing line company. So they were like, you know what?
Fuck
yeah. Yeah, they're like, we're going to do all your t-shirts. And we're gonna do all your t-shirts. We're gonna sell them for free. I mean, we're going to sell them. And then you're gonna get them profit for it as long as you wear our shit when we drop.
When we're on stage.
They hadn't even dropped yet. I was like, man, fuck it, you know, it sounds good. So we ended up, shout out to Endo One.
By the way, I'm in my SMS apparel. apparently, the clothing game fucks with comedy super hard. Shout out to Save My Soul.
Yeah, you know, they do because they were like, you know, you get on stage and all kinds of people come see you. They'll like it. So I was like, okay, cool. So they're like, what do you have? And I had like a shitty logo that somebody had, my photographer at the time had made it for me. It was not a shitty logo. He's like 14. He did it for me. You know, but it was not what it is now.
He's already changed.
Yeah.
He's forgotten where he came from.
Yeah, no.
Fuck you guys.
No. I ended up passing it to the clothing company. I was like, look, this is my face, cartoon version. I want to put it on a t-shirt. They're like, okay. So they ended up fixing it for me. They gave me like a fade and everything in the picture. And they started slapping it on t-shirts.
Can I grab one more Blue Moon and close out my tab?
Yes. How about for you?
I'm okay right now.
You're okay?
Yeah.
Dude, something that happens to every comedian is they have a night where they black out. Where they either drink too much or they smoke too much or they take some acid. Whatever they do. And they have the greatest set of their fucking life. And then you just spend months or years chasing that dragon and try and get that again. Yeah. Like, how do I get back to that magic? I made that mistake, and I have learned that I'm better when I'm sober, and I'm now 3 Blue Moons in, which means I have to calm it down, and I have to switch to water, and I'm going to give the advice to you that, you know, always calm down before your set. Turn up as much as you want after your set, but before your set, handle your high, you know.
Yeah,
Kevin Hart said that.
I ended up...
Not Kevin Hart, Kevin Smith.
I ended up finding that out myself, too, last year, I'm not going to get into details, but we had... like a drug problem and drinking problem at such a young age, you know? And I was getting... Because I was so... Like, I have anxiety. So getting on stage...
So you started heroin?
Not close. So I was, like, fucked up before my sets. And ended up going good, you know? But I was like, you know what? I'm better sober. That's what I'm best. So I'm going to go back. And it's hard trying not to drink, you know, because you're fucking thinking about this shit all day. I've been thinking about this set all weekend, and it's an open mic, you know? A lot of people are like, oh, it's whatever. But to me, it's not like I make every single one of them count, man. You know?
You're going to be nervous until you're not.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to be nervous because that's a little bit of fire burning under you. And once the set is over, no matter how it goes, you're going to feel a million times better. Like, you get to sleep like you've never slept before.
Yeah.
Unless you kill it. Then you're like, ah.
You're
going to be adrenaline.
Yeah. And it was, so I tried to, now I'm trying to, like I said, even doing sets, I'd rather be sober or not, you know, not fucked up. Basically, that's my goal. So I'm working on a lot of things, you know, that didn't work out the first time around. You know, everything went good, but behind closed doors, it was a fucking mess for me, you know? It was like, what the fuck, you know? So I'm trying to make sure everything is good inside and out, you know? I'm trying to do a show and not be worried about different shit. And right now, I feel like starting the year off good, you know? I took January off. I did a competition in December, a game of microphones at the Comedy Strand.
I hear about it all the time.
Yeah, I did.
Tom Fellini?
Yep. You know, he's a really good guy, too.
Diapers in my car for him.
He took me in and he kind of, you know, he was a nice guy. He kind of was like, he motivated me a little
best.
Bit.
Yeah, other than banning Leroy. I love you, Tom, but goddamn it. But I love you, but goddamn
it. I don't know that, but yeah, I liked Tom did that.
Alright, so here's another major key.
Yeah.
So when you do start having friends that are comedians, their beef doesn't have to be your beef. The people they don't like, you don't have to dislike, because that'll fuck up your money. And at the end of the day, all you want to do is keep your business straight.
Yeah.
And what's good business is just smile, and if you don't like them, you don't let them know. Just keep it down, and don't fuck with them when you don't fuck with them.
Like, yeah, and I didn't know it was like that here, you know? And then I saw you on Facebook catching a whole bunch of heat from that one time that you did it was like a girl or something like
that. Yeah, that was messy.
Yeah, yeah, I did see that one.
I got me too. I got hashtag me too.
So it was, I didn't know, and then I saw that and I was like, fuck, you know, and then I was on I got added to the Chicago Comedy Scene Facebook page.
Wonderful resource.
Yeah, it is. And then I saw a lot of, like, beef also. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I didn't even know these people were at each other's head like that.
Beef is one of those things where it's, like, a lot of fun to watch. Not so fun to be on the receiving end of.
Yeah.
So when it pops off, I'm excited. I'm like, oh, I want to watch him go at it. Like, ooh, get him. I'm like Michael Jackson with the popcorn. Like,
yeah. You know, yeah, me too. You know,
I'm so like, I get that. I understand everybody that's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. So I was like, what the fuck? Like, this shit. It's in my head. I was like, yeah, these people are comedians. They're fighting. What the fuck? And then it's like, then I realized, I was like, yeah, shit, you know, it's kind of more serious than what I thought it was, you know?
There does end up being a lot of politics. And that's usually a way for, as Chappelle would say, bitch-ass niggas. Chappelle's words, not mine. To kind of try and have power over shit they don't need to have power over.
Yeah.
Because when you're really in it, like, for me, I get real philosophical about comedy. For me, loving comedy means being on the side of funny. Mm. So it's like, I don't have any feelings about it. There's no feelings over here. Mm. Funny is funny. I don't care what the fuck. I don't care how you feel about it. I just like funny. But not everybody's on that side. So some people are like, well, you know, I have an agenda, a liberal agenda. I have a Republican agenda. I have a fucking meh, meh, meh.
Yeah.
That's anti-funny to me.
Yeah, and I told myself that I was not going to do any politics because I don't know anything about politics. So I was like, why the fuck
I'm fucking retarded.
You know, yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, I don't know shit, you know? So it's like, why would I go based off what I see on the news and get on the stage and talk about it? It's not funny, you know, because I don't get it. So it's like when somebody calls me out on it, then I'm not going to know what to say, you know? Because just for a couple laughs, I'm going to pretend to be something I'm not. So I was like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to stay away from politics the most that I can. I don't know nothing about it.
I've gone through this a number of times. When I was a younger comic, I fantasized about it. I was like, oh, Fox News is going to come after me. Like, Republicans are going to... Oh, I can't wait to have those fights. I can't wait to be Jon Stewart. That's not what happened. What happened was the liberals attacked me. So what I learned is, if you're a gangster about it, and you say, fuck you and your mama too, a lot of people like that, but that's a kind of an icky place to be.
Yeah.
Or what I found, the place that I like to be, is I like to try and be peptide. Where, like, everybody's fiery, I calm the situation down. Let's apply some logic, let's make sure everybody's happy, and then I move on with what the fuck I want to do. But at the end of the day, I don't know about you, but it's like, I don't personally want to hurt anyone. Yeah. I don't personally, like, it's all, I'm on the side of funny. I'm not here to hurt you. So if you are hurt, let's talk about that. Let's get on the same page. But it's up to you. Yeah. There is definitely an audience for fuck you and your mama too.
Yeah.
A lot of people want that gangster.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I felt like it was coming out the gate. I was like, man, whatever I say, fuck whoever doesn't like it. you know, now I'm kind of changing my views a little bit. I kind of want to, because I want to know more, you know. I'm not too smart.
It's like, wisdom, it's maturity.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So it's like, I'm not who I was a year ago already. So it's like, now I want to talk about certain stuff, but I want to learn about it too. So it takes a lot of time. I didn't know that a lot of comics were really smart.
All
you
up
know?
In their feelings?
Oh, well, they were really, really, really smart, you know?
They do tend to be college kids that have gone to college, more introspective, more well-read.
Mm-hmm. So I was like,
but I find that some of them aren't as smart as they think they are. So I'll say the opposite is a lot of them think they're smart, but as someone who's actually smart, they're not as smart as they think they are.
You know, and it's like, yeah, so I want to learn more. You know, I want to, right now I'm working on, like I said, expanding my knowledge to bring it to the stage.
Cause I'm going to hit you with some movies and podcasts.
Yeah, let me know, because, you know, I work, it's hard to look up comedians, and there's a lot of people on the ground that I want to find out about, you know. Little by little, I'm doing, like, a lot of digging.
You'll never know them all. Like, I consider myself, like, a comedy nerd. Like, I know everybody. And then I just got hit to Dean Cole.
Dean Cole, yeah. I know Dean Cole.
Didn't know about him for the longest time. I was like, but I love him. I love everything about him. Yeah. How did this not get brought to my attention?
Yeah, Dean Cole used to write for Cat Williams. That's how I found him. He used to be in his posse. And that's how I found him. And now he works for him.
You needed to call Dean before you put out that last Netflix special. Yeah. That was a lot of crowd work. That was a lot of woofing.
Yeah.
For millions of dollars, that was a lot of woofing.
Yeah, he's going to come. He's coming this Saturday, actually. Cat Williams. So I might go see him.
Cat.
Since, like I said, he's one of my favorites, but people say that he gets drunk and shit and that he gets fucked up on stage.
Fucking let him. He's that fuck your mama guy.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. You know, so
before we get out of here, do you have any questions about comedy? Because
questions.
I have a lot of experience.
Yeah, questions about comedy. I guess I would say
doing shit wrong.
Yeah, you know. I guess I would ask you about my nerves, but I mean, you're nervous till you're not. You know,
it takes time. So I went from like shitting my pants and needing to get blackout drunk just to get on stage to. I started thinking, like, if I can't do it sober, I can't do it. So I started doing it sober. I'd be nervous till I got up there. And then for the longest time, once I was on stage, I was fine. Nervous until I got there. As soon as I stepped on stage, completely fine.
Yeah.
And then it comes in spurts. Like, there are some times where I'm, like, all night long, I'm like, Chappelle, you can't touch me. This is what the fuck I do. Google me, bitch.
Yeah.
And then there are other times where I'm like, I don't know if I have anything funny to say. Like, why was that funny to me?
Yeah.
It was funny when I wrote it down. It doesn't feel funny now. What the fuck am I...
Yeah, you know, and it's...
It'll
get to. I guess questions... that would be my only question. Because you're right.
Time and experience. It'll go away.
Yeah, you're right. Because, you know, it's almost like this Will Smith said this. It's like you're nervous about something until it's happening. And then when you're happening, you realize, like, this is not that bad, you know? Unless it's not going your way. but it's when I'm now, you know, thinking about it. It's like when I'm on stage, it's like... And everything blacks out. You know, you don't think about nothing. And so most of the time, I don't even hear people laughing.
You're working on doing it until you're doing it.
Yeah.
And you'll know when you're doing it.
So that right now is what I'm working on, you know. And it's... Yeah, and I guess as we get to know each other more, you know, doing this... I'm trying to hang out more at open mics. I know you hang out. You're big on the scene. So I want to...
I'm infamous.
You know, I'm going to... You know, I'll come back for you. Come back to you for, advice.
Come back
for
me... Too skinny, you're gonna have a career.
No, come back for me. No,
let me open for your Netflix special.
No, I mean, like, come back for advice. You know, what do you think about this? Or have you heard this before? You know, I'm pretty sure
that's the biggest thing, and I call people for that.
Yeah.
All the time. I'm like, because sometimes I'll get, if I watch a lot of comedy, I'll get somebody's voice in my head, and I'll be writing like Cat Williams, or I'll be writing like Dave Chappelle.
Mm.
And then I'll have to call someone and be like, is this one of their actual jokes?
Yeah.
Or did I write something that sounds like in their voice?
Yeah.
And the biggest person I've bitten off of on accident, because it happens to everybody, is Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan.
It's the weirdest fucking thing. Yeah. Like, his words have come out of my mouth, and I've been like, I figure it out the next day, and I'm like, oh, motherfucker. God damn it.
Yeah, so that's what I want.
Gotta go apologize.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess I'll help you. You can help me out a lot with that, because I just kind of sit down and just write shit. I never, like, go based off anything else. But then a lot of times, parallel thinking, it has a huge influence, you know? It's crazy. You know, because people
just, like, gotta let it go.
Yeah, sometimes you watch both videos, like, oh, yeah, he definitely stole that. But it's like, swear to God, I did. You know, like, it's crazy how it happens. But yeah, I guess you gotta, I gotta be careful more and do more homework. You know, that's what I'm working on now.
Chris Rock was one that said, like, if they stole it, they need it more than you do, because you can keep making new shit. Mm-hmm. And comedy's a lot like muscles. You know, as you're working out, your muscles get stronger. So when I started out freestyling, I was garbage. But after a couple of years of doing it, started getting really good. And then after like 4 or 5 years of doing it, now I can, like, I'm kind of a gangster. I can just walk up. I don't have to have shit. I can just fucking go off the top of my head if I want to. It's muscles. You got to build those muscles. And if you build your writing muscles, if you force yourself to keep making new shit, you'll always be able to make shit. You'll always have something to talk about. You don't need those jokes as much as the person that's going to steal them from you. Fuck them. You got better shit to write anyway.
Yeah, thanks.
Don't get attached to any of your material, because you're going to keep growing, and in 2 years, you're going to look back and be like, oh, that's garbage. I'm way funnier now. And then imagine 10 years, 20 years. You're going to be like, I thought that shit was funny. What the fuck? The shit that I was
on. Yeah, and it's crazy that you say that, because I never looked at it like that. And now thinking about it, you know, there is some stuff that, you know,
enjoy
crossed my mind.
Enjoy being like, new. Yeah. Fucking enjoy failing. Like, Pete Holmes would always say, like, you bombed. Congratulations. Good for you. What a wonderful experience. You realize something didn't work out. You realize you have a way to grow. How good is that? But it's hard to think about it like working out, because we think about it like, oh, I either killed or I fucking failed. Yeah. But it is working out. It's like, did you find a line that worked?
Yeah.
Cool. You got a muscle there. Yeah. You got two lines that worked? All right. Let's. Next time we're going to double up on that. We're going to cut that shit that didn't work.
Yeah, I got to get used to that. I got to get used to failing, you know? A lot of times I was
it's
like...
The strongest thing you can do.
Yeah.
The most important
thing
you can
do. That's
what
I want to work on now, because like I said, you when like I told you, when I was starting off, it went so good. Then I was like, I did one bad show. Then I kind of like, I was like taking breaks. And I was like, what the fuck? So now I want to get used to, like, get used. You know you could do okay, you know? So now get used to trying new shit. Don't be scared. Because, I mean, if you just say, oh, this is good, I'm going to stay with this. Then fucking 2 years later, you're going to do the same shit. It's like, I don't want to do that. So I got to fail, you know? I gotta try new shit.
And by the way, not everybody's Louis. So Louis would do like a new hour every year. It took him 20 years to figure out how to do that, all right? At 7 months in, at a year in, you don't have to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be at the level you're supposed to be at. Like, enjoy it, work at it, get better. You'll naturally... It's like, you watch Dragon Ball?
Not really, but I...
So,
yeah. I don't watch anything.
These Saiyans will go Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
But you'll
yeah,
know,
I know. I get that.
You'll know when you go Super Saiyan. You'll be like, oh, I just hit a new level there. Cool.
Yeah.
Now let me figure out how to stay there. That was part of when Goku was training Gohan. If I can make this as nerdy as possible, is Gohan was like, oh man, you know how to go Super Saiyan. All right, you got it, Dad. And he was like, no, son. I have to learn how to stay Super Saiyan. So it's like, you're going to have your night where you go Super Saiyan, and then you're going to have your night when you're like, oh, I figured out how to stay Super Saiyan. So keep working for that.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it a lot, you know.
Where can people find you?
Too Skinny on Facebook, TOO SKINNY for people who can't spell. And then on Twitter is TooSkinny300, and on Instagram is TooSkinny300.
All right, last thing. Tell me about your video that went viral. The comment section.
Oh.
What was that like? What was in there?
I'm actually recording a video right now where I'm reading off comments off the video.
Fuck shit.
So you can go check it out. But I mean,
is it up? Like, can you send me
I just filmed it this weekend. So we're going to put it up this weekend. But all I mean, I guess I could be like a... Most of the comments
update this podcast to have a link when the link is ready.
Most of the comments on there were like, hey, man, you remind me of Snorlax. Or, it's a crazy comment.
Sure.
I'm going to drop the video. It'll be up soon. And then I'll show you the actual video that I made.
Was it crazy racist?
Crazy racist. Crazy. It was called How to Rock a Snapback. Now that you were on. So, I'll show it to you and you can watch it. And I mean, it's crazy. You know, 730-something views. And it's like 120-something dislikes.
This is my thing I'm going to give you. You'll catch this when you listen back to this. Study Leonard Oots. You're like a young Leonard Oots. That's the homie. He's super dope. Study Oots. He got major keys. And Too Skinny, you're going to be fucking huge, man. And I'm excited to watch your career.
Thanks, man.
And
really
I'm going to talk mad shit. And I'm going to tell you every time you fail. Right to your face. I'm going to be like, motherfucker, you stink. Oh, better give that $500 back.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Let's keep those hands clapping for Ian Ellis.
So I was pussy fucking my wife the other day. Like a savage. I know some people like to be more liberal than that. You like the butt stuff and threesomes. I'm in a cis heteronormative monogamous relationship. Is that okay?
Yeah. Amen.
She's like, that. Actually, that's what I was looking for. It's hard to find in the menu these days. Because I'm a savage, I stay leaving it in. Which means I got her pregnant. And we had a baby. Some people are like, how do you have a kid? I was like, did you try leaving it in? Just come all over those ovaries. That's how babies are made. I know it's not in the Bible. But science confirmed that shit. Everybody's like, science is terrible. It did tell you, if you stay leaving it in, you'll have a kid. It gave you some kinds of heads up. Give that much to science. So my kid, he's starting to talk now. And he's like, ah, bah, 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 bah. It sounds like he's high. I was like, are you a Muslim? What the fuck was that? Abba-dooba-dooba-da. I'm a little bit worried, because I'm like, if he's like my wife, that's going to be a whole lot of fucking yapping. Might have to blow my brains out. Here's one thing about women, is they love telling you shit that you already know. It's not just my wife, it's every chick I've ever dated. Hey, did you know Earth is third planet from the sun? Yeah, bitch. I had science, I know that shit. They're always like, I'm tired of you talking about bitches in the kitchen. Soon as I'm in the kitchen, she's like, hey, you know how to cook that? Yeah, I'm gonna follow the directions. Is that... Did you have some old family recipe that wasn't following the directions? Because that's exactly what the fuck I'm gonna do. And this pizza's gonna turn out terrific. In case you guys didn't know, I'm a straight white male. Which means I'm the best. A lot of people hating like it's not okay to be white. Here's what you gotta remember. Gay rights, black rights, women's rights, that's just shit we gave you. There's no war. The white man has never been defeated. You can try it, but we got like drones and shit. Plus, as bad as we are, like, we're the worst of history, like, slavery and smallpox and oppressing women and gays and shit, people still hate women more. So you might want to think about what the fuck you're doing and suck that dick a little bit more before you get all hot and mighty about the straight white male. I'm gonna end on this. You guys afraid of the blacks? You should be. In the 60s, they were fucking shit up. Malcolm X, Black Panthers, the Weather Underground, and there's a lot more of them now than there were then. And they got more access to guns and money, and they got social media, so they can be way more organized than they were in the 60s. I have it from 3 or 4 reliable sources. They've developed a taste for our white women. That was the punchline. All right, guys. My name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night.
Oh, give it up for Ian Ellis. He's not a Nazi, I swear to God, guys. If you want, I wouldn't let him perform if he was a Nazi. He's just a super nice guy. All right. Next comedian coming up here.
Caps ain't Saturday in the mode. No Juliet for no Romeo with no dough. She report the pimpin', now back to trickin'. She report the pimpin', nigga, back to trickin'.
Hey ho!
Get back to twerking, back to working.
Yeah.
Get back to stripping, they back to tipping. Them stacks is falling, they back to balling.
Come on.
Them bottles popping. Bitch, the mall's calling us. Quit fucking around, now I'm playing around. Bitch, shit is for real.
For real.
Quit making a stack back, make us a meal. I mean, get us a deal.
Come on.
Bitch, fix us a meal. Tell me how's it feel. On the social network when they said nigga really ain't got no chill.
He think he fucking my bitch. Nigga, that bitch for rent. He know how to treat a hoe. I mean, no let money spend. She said you a sweetheart. A sweetheart. Things tend to go a little different around here.
We pimpin', nigga.
Quit cap saying Saturday in the mall. No Juliet for no Romeo with no dog. She report the pimpin', now back to drinking. She report the pimpin', nigga back to drinking.
Hey, yo.
Quit cap saying Saturday in the mall. No Juliet for no Romeo with no dog. She report the pimpin', now back to drinking. She report the pimpin', nigga back to drinking.
We pimpin', nigga.
P-I-M-P, who the shot to them? I'm the girl, let him sugar, watch him follow him. Had the homies come through for 100, that be the block. Take your shit, we going up on the Instagram. Higher than a ceiling fan. I'm whipping bricks in the kitchen and flying shit out the window like I was Peter Pan. I handle my own shit, I own shit, alone shit. Middle finger to the middle man. Anybody that can get it when they want it. Finger fuck your bitch and she gon' tell me when she coming. 50 in this bitch and I ain't asking it for nothing. That's my OG. If a nigga trippin', get the bus. More money mean more problems. If your nigga got the money, we gon' rob him. Boy, I'm simply a P-I-M-P. And I'ma let it go to the clip on empty.
You think you fucking my bitch? Nigga, that bitch for rent. He know how to treat a hoe. I mean, no let money spend. She says you a sweetheart. A sweetheart. Things tend to go a little different around here.
We pimpin', nigga.
I'm getting big money. Starting to get hard to keep a nigga from hate.
Yeah.
I'm with a white bitch. Nigga, Google the shit. We in a racial date. This is new wave. I'm in the new rave. A nigga sit on suede.
Come on.
Like I'm special ed, but I ain't special ed. Bitch, I got it made.
Ow.
We here to make the paper. Hope you niggas on the same page.
Yeah.
You know, boy in the hood, I had you running like Ricky from a 12 gauge. You know my bottom bitch, I done told her how to break a nigga 12 ways. A few tricks a day, that did keep the bill collectors away. Hear my name on the street, it's circulating, you heard I'm caking. Them niggas trying to compete, perpetrating, what's percolating.
Yeah,
I got game for days, ask around and tell you I put it down. So a hoe feels like I'm right next to her when a nigga will out of town.
He think he fucking my bitch, nigga that bitch for rent. He know how to treat a hoe, I mean no let money spend. She says you a sweetheart, a sweetheart.
Things tend to go a little different around here. We pimpin', nigga.